Welcome back. My guest is Frank Stronach, founder of Magna International, one of the largest companies in Canada. He's a strong supporter of Maxime Bernier, the leader of the People's Party of Canada. Frank, welcome to This Week in Money.
Okay, it's great to be with you, and it's always great to talk about money.
Magna International has been just a giant success story. You're the founder. What did you do right that made Magna the huge success that it is?
Well, basically, when we take a look, society came a long way from the caveman to the hunted to the kings and the servants, and now we have disgruntled employees. Now we have got bosses and disgruntled employees. So the reason I think I treated my employees as partners, and that's why we were so successful.
You're 92 years old, but people don't believe it. You're still working hard. You get things done. What are your secrets to staying young?
I want to correct them. I'm 92 years young, not old.
Okay.
Okay, I put everything in the reverse. Now, if look, sometimes when you get older, you kind of look at life and say, what's the purpose of life, etc. And I came to the conclusion, I would like to see Canada being the first country in the world which would adopt the economic charter part of the Constitution. So that when you have a project, I think that keeps you young and it keeps you motivated and you have a purpose.
You're a strong supporter of Maxime Bernier and the People's Party of Canada. What attracted you to them?
Well, keep in mind, I'm non-political, right? And as I said, I like to see the economic charter being part of the Constitution. So we just recommend politicians which would say if they be elected, they would endorse or they would bring forward a motion that the economic charter of rights would be part of the Constitution. So we also... But the problem is the Liberals, the Conservatives, and the NDP, they're not, the economy isn't high on their agenda. They don't talk about it, how the economy works.
How important is the economy to the success of countries?
But the economy, it's the economy, the economy, the economy. The funny thing is, all politicians and all business people, pretty well all people agree, if the economy doesn't work, nothing else will work. If the economy doesn't work, you cannot feed the hungry, you cannot look after the most fragile people, the elderly, the sick, and the handicapped. The message I want to get across loud and clear is, without workers, you can't make a profit. So it's only fair that they will get a portion. The economy is driven by three forces: smart managers, hardworking employees, and investors. And all three have a moral right to the outcome, which is profits. So the message I want to get across loud and clear is, without workers, you can't make a profit.
Would your economic charter fix Canada's economy and make Canada an economic powerhouse?
It would make Canada an economic powerhouse because it's the economy, the economy. So the message again, I'm not trying to get across, take away from the rich. I'm saying we must let workers participate in baking the economic pie, and they should get a dancer proportion of that. So everybody will get a bigger slice. So that's the economy get into motion in an incredible way.
Profit sharing?
Well, profit sharing is the key, right? Without workers, you can't make a profit. When I, in the early 1980s, when I put an economic charter of rights in the Magna Constitution, you know, where it says the employees get 10% of the profits over and above the wages. Our profits climbed the first year 40%, the second year 100%, the third year 200%. When you get employees, you know, if you give them a portion in a tangible way, you release an energy of untold proportions. Okay, that's the essence of the economy. That without workers, you can't make a profit. So get them involved on the front line. They can see how to make things better, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the most important thing.
One observation I had was when WestJet was owned by the employees, they did everything they could to make your trip pleasant and successful, and now that they're just corporate employees, they don't seem to try as hard to make it as nice a flight.
Well, that would hold true just about for everything, right? Look, the employees know the playing fields are not level, the playing fields are catering for the very rich, so they're unhappy. You know, you have, basically we have an environment where we have bosses and disgruntled employees.
Budget deficit projections from the different parties are a key item people should be paying attention to. How do the budget projections of the People's Party differ from the other parties?
Well, the very key is government shouldn't have any debt, right? They must have balanced budgets. Look, every housewife knows she cannot spend more than what her husband brings home. If she spends more, they wind up in a poorhouse. Every farmer knows he cannot spend more money than what he gets for his crop. Otherwise, he loses the farm. Every small business knows they cannot spend more than what they make on profits. Otherwise, they go broke. Governments don't. They keep just printing monies. Okay, and the debt is climbing like crazy. You know, what are you going to tell your kids? How are we going to pay back the debt? It's irresponsible.
From a business point of view, would eliminating the deficit be good for business and the economy?
Well, it would be great for people, right? With an economic charter of rights, we could eliminate poverty. That's the very key.
Is there an economic argument for Canada or part of Canada to become the 51st U.S. state?
No. Canada should be in its own. I think the United States can have a greater problem, so we would be suckered in on a greater problem. No, I think Canada, look, Canada has been it's a great country. It's been a great country. We just got too many regulations and too much government involvement. We got to, you know, about 65 years ago when they built the first factory in Canada, I'm a tool and die maker by trade. I put on the tool and die making open for business. I didn't need a permit for years. I didn't need a permit. I built one factory after the other, right? I mean, and they were having very few regulations and everything worked fine. Municipalities were very helpful. If you went to municipality with the building, they looked as a stamp by qualified engineers for snow load, wind load, et cetera, and say, look, great, go ahead and build the building. We are so happy to build a factory in our town. And now it's, it's regulations, full with regulations. There's more regulators now than there is people which want to make things.
Does mass immigration destroy economies?
Well, mass immigration, I mean, society can look in nature when you get a species all of a sudden flocking in, it upsets the balance of nature. The same mass immigration will upset the natural environment, right? Look, if all of a sudden if a million immigrants come in, the system isn't built that we can build a million homes, right? So it doesn't make sense, right? I mean, there's so many things which doesn't make sense.
Does Canada need a Department of Government Efficiency, a DOGE, to eliminate fraud and corruption from government, and would it be good for business?
Yeah, it would be absolutely good for everyone. I wouldn't quite say DOGE, but I'm saying we should have hotlines. You know, if people know certain things are not done right, not fairly, not maybe breaking the laws or what, fine, we should have hotlines and flush the things out. That was one of Magna's key principles. Many, many years ago, I built in a hotline where people could call a number without giving their names if something wasn't right or unfair or not correct, right? And because the most important thing is that you make employees happy and in the country where the citizens, the citizens got to know the people, like the country's run fairly, correctly.
Would it be a good economic argument for Canada to join the U.S.?
It would not be a good thing here because, you know, the larger the country, the bigger the problem. The smaller the country, the smaller the problem. And it's a lot easier to handle small problems than big problems. So it's not like, when I got my citizenship, right, in the early 60s, I was a pretty proud Canadian. And I'm still proud to be a Canadian, even though, when we are younger, we all try to hustle to make some money so that they can live in dignity. And I have built over 400 factories in 34 different countries. I could have lived in any one of those countries with dignity. I chose Canada, right? So no, we should. We just got to correct. We cannot leave the politicians handling the economy alone. They cannot handle the economy.
The Canadian government sold off all its gold. If Canada returned to a gold standard, do you think in-ground gold could be used to back the currency?
Well, I don't know. First, you gotta mine it. You gotta melt it. You gotta make sure you there's enough in the ground. But look, it was kind of it was maybe not the right thing to do to sell. I don't know how much gold they sold, but apparently a lot of gold was sold. I think that was a great mistake. Again, it was a thing here. It's cheating the public, right? You sell off what belongs to the people and you get some monies in, which doesn't... It covers Israel for a little while, and then you get more problems.
Regulations are business killers. How could necessary regulations be kept while the unnecessary ones are terminated?
Well, there was a survey done about a year ago, right, on the regulators, right? There's quite a few countries, but I got three countries in my mind. Canada had 100 regulators or bureaucrats per 1,000 people. The United States had 70 bureaucrats per 1,000 people, so regulators, and Japan had 40 bureaucrats per 1,000 people, right? So we are way, way, way over, right? I think when I opened up the first factory 65 years ago, I think maybe the bureaucracy was maybe 10 people per 1,000, 10 bureaucrats per 1,000 people. Somewhere around 20 bureaucrats per 1,000 people, that should be enough. Okay, we gotta get down. Look, when the first computers came on the market 50 years ago, the slogan was, if you got one of those computers, you could eliminate a total office floor. Now when they look around in the cities, there's 20 times more office buildings. What do you think they do in there? They don't make products. It's regulations, regulations, regulations. They're over-regulated.
Could election rigging or fraud be designed to destroy economies?
Well, we got to take a close look. We got to make sure that it's practically impossible to cheat, right? So I'm not a total expert on that, but it should be analyzed. And I think we need maybe a committee to make sure. Can we improve the election system? And to avoid cheating, I think it's from time to time there should be a qualified committee to take a look and see what can we do to make it very honest.
Do you think we should be concerned about possible election rigging this federal election?
We always got to be concerned about rigging, right? So, but that's why we should from time to time, We should be able to assess and analyze, can we make it better, right? The more modern technology you have, the better you could to create a model where practically cheating is practically impossible, right? So I think we should take a look at it.
The real estate market looks like it could be heading for a significant downturn. How devastating could that be for the economy?
Well, real estate is part of is a section of the economy, right? If the economy is down, and what we have here, it's quite simple, right? When you take a look now, if there's a new building going up, it's a warehouse. It's not a factory. So what we have, we build more and more warehouses. That means basically we have more and more imports. You know, the debt's rising, the imports are rising, the bureaucracy is rising. It's like a freight train going down the hill with no brakes on it.
If real estate takes a significant downturn, is there likely to be job growth in certain sectors?
Well, it's if real estate. By real estate, we mainly mean all the housing industry. People need homes, et cetera, right? So if that drops, that means how do we house people, right? They sleep underneath the bridges or whatever, right? It's a problem. That's why the mass immigration upsets the national structure.
The People's Party platform includes eliminating the deficit within a year and then the capital gains tax. What would that do for the economy?
Well, it's impossible to eliminate the debt within a year. That's not, right? I think it might take 20 years, but we got to have a program that we have balanced budgets and a small portion over the budget, a small portion that we can pay back.
Hearing the political arena in Canada is like a crime scene. Is this perception harming investment inside and outside Canada?
Yeah, well, it might seem maybe that way. I'm not an expert on that. I'm not. But we got to take a look. As I said early on, we need a special committee to overlook the. Can we improve the election, and can we straighten out that business is conducted in a very serious proper way? You know, if you make profits, you gotta pay the tax, etc. So you gotta make. But right now, I think the whole system is slanted towards the rich. Look, all the signs are there that the divide between the very rich and the working class gets bigger and bigger.
Do you see good days ahead for Canada?
Well, we see. We still could, if we would adopt the Economic Charter of Rights, I see with great days ahead. If not, then we have a major problem, right? Because how are we going to pay back the debt? How are we going to, if the economy doesn't work, right? We got to get the people involved. We got to make capitalists out of the workers. Okay, because the socialistic philosophies and communistic philosophies don't work. They're based on wealth distribution. First, you got to create the wealth, otherwise there's nothing to distribute.
As we close the interview, do you have a message for Canadian voters?
Well, the message would be the voters should ask the office-seeking people, if they want to be in parliament, would they support an economic charter of rights? And they only should vote for politicians who would say, yeah, I would support the economic charter of rights if I'm elected. It would be very much on the top of the agenda, so the economic charter of rights would be part of the Constitution. Look, it's quite simple to think here. When you take a look at Canada, right, you're not really a free person unless you be economically free. How many people would be economically free in Canada? So let's just create the minimum standards. What would we call economically free? The minimum standards would be if a Canadian woman or Canadian man worked for 30 years, they should own at least the house or condo mortgage-free. And they should have at least $300,000 in the bank to support their pension funds so they, in their later years, could choose their own road to happiness. How many people have that? That's a shame. Those are the minimum standards. We created so many new ways of doing things, computers and special machinery, and we're going backwards. So there's definitely something wrong.
Frank, thank you so much for being on This Week in Money.
Okay, let's do it again. More money is going to get the biggest slice of the economic pie when we do an economic chart of rights. Okay. Thank you.
My guest has been Frank Stronach, founder of Magna International, one of the biggest companies in Canada. He's a strong supporter of the People's Party of Canada and its leader, Maxime Bernier. Coming up, Alan Mark Angel, next on This Week in Money.